Us Aussies love cycling. Well, not all of us love actually getting on bikes, but we love putting on our TV sets and watching the Tour de France or the great cycling race around Italy or Spain. And in fact, just this week past, an Aussie called Matthew Heyman, he won a great event in France. It was hundreds of kilometres riding over back streets and cobblestones, and he came out the winner. Much different from the Tour de France, which goes over a few weeks and is on pretty decent roads. But here in Australia, we are taking more and more to the cycle. Alex Fletcher is a commercial lawyer, and he is the founder of a sustainable transport app. What a mouthful it is. Good morning, Alex Fletcher.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us, mate. So tell us about this app that you've created to try and help us encourage a sustainable transport.
Sure, it's called Freewheeler, and what it does is it automatically tracks all your trips and works out which of your trips are commutes, and it works out the different modes of transport you use when you travel, and then it awards points depending on how good your travel choices are for your health, decreasing road congestion, and for the environment. So you get all these points, and then the plan is to redeem them at participating local businesses for rewards. So it's like a Qantas frequent flyers, but for sustainable transport.
Goodness me, how many businesses have you got on board where you can go and claim your points?
Well, we started in Fremantle in Perth, WA, and I'm just putting the final touches on the app, but I've got about 15 businesses signed up for the pilot, and if that goes successfully, then we'll roll it out across the country.
This program broadcasts out of Melbourne, goes across the east coast of the country. In Melbourne these days, being a Saturday and Sunday morning traveller home from the studio, I see literally dozens and dozens of people who are weekend cyclists out at the break of day. I'm never quite sure where they're going to. But Monday to Friday commuters seem to be more and more taking to the bike.
Yes, definitely. That's happening in WA too. I think people are just seeing the health benefits of it and enjoying it. And there's less space for cars these days, so people just get on their bikes and make their own way to work.
And it does make sense as well, especially if you don't live too far away from your workplace, to get on the bike and do it seems to be the way. It seems that most of the commuters in Melbourne anyway are from the inner suburbs. I don't see so many going from the outer suburbs cycling their way into the city. But city workers seem to be embracing the bike, incredibly.
Yeah, well, my dad cycles about 45 minutes to work in Perth. So that's because there's a good bike path that entire distance. So I think it's generally a matter of infrastructure, and a lot of people are quite happy to cycle a fairly long way because it's not too hard. But another thing that Freewheel is trying to encourage is gradual change, because not everyone is comfortable with getting on their bikes because it can be a bit of a learning curve, but for longer trips. But you can do short trips. So maybe instead of driving to work, you can get on your bike and ride to your local train station or bus stop. Put your bike somewhere and then catch public transport to work.
Yes, indeed. Or if your shopping centre's not too far away, you can put a backpack on and go and do a bit of light shopping, provided you're not taking home, 17 bags full of stuff, just a couple of things. You can do that too,
yeah.
I guess.
I've had that issue, having heavy bags on my handlebars, and it's interesting.
it can make life a bit difficult, for sure. In Europe, of course, people have been cycling for years. The Dutch particularly are well-known for being great cyclists, and I think in Holland, the there are more bike paths in that country than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, Holland and Copenhagen are both excellent at it. I think since the 70s, they both decided to divert their kind of transport funding from roads and cars to prioritise cycling. So it's been a gradual process since then, but we're at the end point of that, and they're just it's boomed over there, and everyone seems quite happy about it.
I guess they're both relatively flat countries as well, where there aren't too many hills to have to contemplate. And I think also the size of the cities, they're not as huge as say Perth or Melbourne is. Being someone who was born in Perth, I'm familiar with how long it is along the coast. Virtually from Mandurah these days to Yanchep is Perth City, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a seriously sprawling city, which I think is why we need to stop the sprawling and just start building up within the current footprint a bit. And yeah, I take your point. You can't ride everywhere if it's a long distance. But that's why we need to start looking at the transport network a bit more holistically. and look at, you know, you get the vital public transport infrastructure in, and then if that is, has got good enough coverage, then cycling becomes realistic because you can always cycle to a train station.
Sure, that's right. Something I've noticed about the train stations in the country, in Melbourne particularly, I know that there are a couple of major train stations, and they've built bicycle cages where, you know, I think for about, you know, $20 a year, you can actually get a key to the cage, you can lock your bike up for, so that no one's going to steal it. It seems like a grand idea. And if that sort of thing was embraced at more train stations, perhaps more people would cycle to the station, lock up their bike, and then get on the train and go to work.
Well, definitely. If there's adequate, secure bike parking and safe bike paths to that spot, then I think you'd see a lot of people getting on their bikes.
Indeed. And of course, the safe bike path thing is a very controversial thing. Most cities will have drives to say we've got enough bike paths. The cyclists are making it difficult for other traffic to move around. What's your view on that?
I think, there's good and bad cyclists and drivers and pedestrians. Generally, on average, if there's a good bike path available, cyclists will use it. But often to drivers, they see these bike paths and see cyclists on the road and go, what's going on? But those bike paths are often shared use and with pedestrians, so that creates conflicts. And they're also often not continuous, like they just stop at dead ends, at roundabouts or serious intersections. So it can be more dangerous for bike riders to take those paths when they're not good enough because it just ends up throwing them in hot water unexpectedly.
I suppose it can too, but then I guess that's a case of take care whether you're a driver or whether you're a cyclist. Be careful all the time and defensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed.
And there's new laws in New South Wales that are quite interesting. It's safe passing laws. Like we all know about the 1 metre thing.
Yes.
But it's also, even when there's, you know, a dotted line in the middle of the road or a continuous line, you're allowed to go over that to pass a cyclist if it's safe to do so, i.e. you've got a clear view of the road and there's no oncoming traffic. Mm. You can go over the continuous line, which is quite a novel concept and kind of makes sense because it's like, what's the safest thing here? Go over a line and there's no other cars around or, just shave past the cyclist.
Sure, yeah, it does make sense. Is the 1 metre rule, is that a national rule?
State by state, I think it's. I'm not sure if Melbourne's got it.
I think Melbourne does.
Okay, good. WA's trialling it at the moment. We're not particularly up to speed on these things. New South Wales has got it. I think the ACT and South Australia do, and Queensland's trialling it, and Tasmania's also got amended road rules for it. So yeah, it's kind of effectively national, but it's all being done state by state. So there's probably inconsistencies, which is another thing I feel is that maybe we should have like a national body, not just for cycling, but for just the transport network, which actually coordinates best practice, looking at international practice, and then consults with all the different state departments of transport so we get consistent road rules and transport rules.
I think Bicycling Australia, they do their bit too, as much as they can anyway, don't they, in negotiating with government?
Who does, sorry?
Isn't it Bicycling Australia?
The group? Bicycle Network, maybe?
Could be, yep.
Yeah, there's probably Bicycling Australia. There's quite a few bodies.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Sorry to Bicycling Australia if you do exist.
Fantastic. Okay, now, just getting back to the sorts of bikes that people are riding these days, there was a time when you'd duck down to Kmart, you'd buy a bike in a box and take it home and you'd assemble it. But I do note that most people are not buying Kmart bikes anymore and taking them home and assembling them. Some of the bikes really are, well, masterpieces of technology, aren't they?
Oh yeah, some pretty serious carbon fibre things out there. I just ride an old 30-year-old bike myself.
Do you read? What a good old Malvern Star or something?
Some Japanese silver record or something.
Okay, cool. All right, yeah.
Quite cool. There's all kinds of bikes out there. I like the old ones. It depends on the rider, I guess, but in my hometown of Fremantle, they're quite pro-cycling and doing a bit of infrastructure and whatnot. I noticed that over half of all the cyclists I see are women, which is
interesting,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, indeed.
Apparently that's the benchmark for a good cycling campaign and infrastructure, because women are obviously more safety conscious. So if they're happy to go out on the road, then you're doing a good job. It is, and they don't tend to be on the carbon fibre bikes either.
No, they tend to be on perhaps the other ones. It's the real pros who seem to be out there, the Lycra lads on the weekends. They seem to have some pretty specky bikes.
Oh, yeah. Good on them. Got to have your toys.
Indeed you do. And of course, the sky's the limit too when you want to buy a bike, isn't it? You can spend thousands of dollars on one.
Oh, yeah. It's all there for the consumer. Depends what you like.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who live overseas, and they're going to endeavour to be participants in the Ironman event in Barcelona coming up October this year, and they've invested a lot of money in the bikes that they're going to be riding.
But they've been doing some training too.
that they are in serious training, believe me, they are. Alex Fletcher is a commercial lawyer. He's the app founder of this sustainable transport app, which is called
Freewheeler.
And how can people get Freewheeler?
We got to finish it first. I'm doing a trial in about a month.
Okay.
So I'll let you know when it's available on the East Coast. It'll be on the Google Play Store and then iOS.
Look at it at the App Store, I guess.
Yep.
Good on you. Alex, great to talk to you. Have a good day.
Pleasure. Thank you.